as we have been privileged to read this beautiful portion of your holy word, so let its beautiful thought and truth strike home into our minds, hearts, and lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder, was the Lord Jesus particularly fond of his food in the days when he was on earth? It's not a frivolous question, though possibly it's not one you've asked yourself before. But when we read the resurrection stories, time and time again we find that he's sitting at table with his disciples eating. We read that lovely Emmaus story. I'd love to have read the whole of it to you, because it's one of the most beautiful passages in the whole of Scripture. How Jesus came and drew near to them and walked with them and opened the Scriptures and so on. But the climax is when they sat at table together. He made as if he would go on, because he doesn't impose himself or go bumbling in. And they said, "Why don't you stay with us?" And he went in to stay with them. But when they sat down at table, suddenly he was no longer the guest. He seemed to be the host. And that memorable phrase that moves one every time we read it: he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. Well, that's only one eating story. Now, please don't be afraid when I tell you this, but I'm going to share four eating stories with you this morning. And you'll be wondering if your cup of coffee is in danger, if not your lunch and tea. So no, the thing is, hold your hats on, because we're hurrying. But that's the first of them. He was known of them in the breaking of the bread. He sat at their table, and he made it his table. And he took the bread, and he said the blessing, and he broke it, and he shared it out, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And ever after, they, as we would say, they dined out on the experience. They went back to Jerusalem. And they just walked from Jerusalem. But they were so excited, they didn't seem tired any longer. They went back and they joined the larger company of those who trusted in the Lord Jesus. And they shared their testimony. And they said, "He was known of us in the breaking of the bread." Now, what I want to say to myself this morning, and to you, is this: that wasn't a communion service. It was an ordinary supper in, I should think, a very ordinary house with a very ordinary man and his wife. But it was a meal of revelation. And shouldn't we pray that our Holy Communion this morning has that value for us? We come and kneel at his table. Shouldn't we pray, "Lord, be known of us in the breaking of the bread"? Make this a meal of revelation. We used to sing when we were young, "Give me a sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me. The love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Give me a sight, O Saviour." Their eyes were opened and they saw him. Will you bring that prayer with you to the table? And then later on in this same passage in Luke, if you have a Bible, then look at it. If not, then just listen, please. While they were talking, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said, "Peace be unto you." And they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Well, they would, wouldn't they? Perfectly natural. And he set about assuring them that he really was risen from the dead. Because first they couldn't believe it. He showed them his hands and his side, and he said, "Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me to have." And presumably they did. But it says they were still disbelieving and puzzling. What were they saying? Were they saying, it's too good to be true? Maybe. Now you and I, with our Bibles in our hands, we say, "It's written in the Bible, so it's too good not to be true." But not even handling him and seeing like that and touching him, not even that seemed to bring real assurance that it was there, Jesus, back from the dead. So he tried something else. He said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" You see, there it is again. Was he well known as a person who enjoyed his food? And did he know that if he sat and ate with them, they'd say, "My word, it is Jesus"? Was it like that? It seems so. "Have you got anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of poached fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And suddenly they knew, yes, it is Jesus. Because he sat and ate with them at their table. What shall we call this one? It wasn't a communion service, remember? It was a meal of assurance. A meal that brought into their minds and hearts an absolute confidence. Yes, yes, yes. He did die. And yes, he is alive from the dead. Now, could we bring that prayer with us to the table this morning? I'm going to take you over now to the end of John's Gospel. And in my opinion, if ever a story vied with the Emmaus story as the most beautiful of the resurrection stories, it would be this lakeside story in John chapter 21. The situation is this, that they all made their way to Galilee because Jesus had arranged with them that after his death, he would meet with them on a mountain in Galilee. So they went and they waited for the appointed time. And they got a bit bored in waiting, And Peter said to the others who were staying with him in his house, I'm going to go fishing. Because they were all lakeside fishermen, so why not? And they said, right, we're coming with you. And you know that as the story unfolds, they went and they fished all night and they caught nothing. But in the morning, as they were making their way back, doubtless cold, doubtless hungry, doubtless even a bit more fed up than when they started, there's someone standing in the misty morning on the shoreline, and it's some hundreds of yards away. So it's just a figure. And the question that comes from this unknown figure suggests that it may be a vagrant begging. Have you anything? Have you caught anything? Have you anything to eat? And they said no. And the unknown figure suddenly took charge. And he said, cast your nets in on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will catch fish. And there was something compelling about what he said, because they did, and they enclosed a huge multitude of fish. And John, in his careful way, says, and though even though there were so many, the net was not broken. Now, why? Now, this is a bit of a bonus for you to ask that, because really we're hastening on to the end of the story. But why was the net not broken? It must have been because the fish were lying placidly in the net and not struggling to get out, mustn't it? And why were they lying placidly in the net? Because in their fishy way, they were saying to each other, if he wants us to be caught, that's all right with us. So Peter says suddenly, it is the Lord! And being Peter, who was the most forthright and in many ways the most daft of the apostles, he was stripped down for work, but before he dived into the sea, he put all his clothes back on again and swam to the shore fully clothed in order to be with Jesus. It is the Lord. And the others perforce came in the boat, dragging with them the net full of fish. And when they came to shore, Peter dragged the net up onto the shore, and fisherman that he was, 153 large fish. He said, well, you wouldn't believe it. They were that size. It's all so real, isn't it? It's so wonderful. But when they got to shore, they found that somebody had been more successful in fishing than they had, because there was a fire already burning and there were fish already cooking. Now, can you imagine it? They'd worked all night. They were tired. They were cold. They were hungry. And they came to shore and they were met by the smell of fish grilling on an open fire. Can you imagine it? And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have now caught. Now, why was that? Answer, because he knew that they were hungry and that when they had eaten his fish, they'd want seconds. So bring some of the fish that you have now caught. It's all so real, isn't it? And there was bread there. Where did he get the bread from? Did he say in his divine way, let there be bread, and there was bread? Well, yes, maybe he did. But maybe on his way to the lake, he went round by Mary and said to her, "Look, I've got 7 starving men to feed. Have you got any bread in the house?" And brought it with them. Maybe, you can't tell. But it was all there ready for them. They'd toiled all night and caught nothing. And in their need, they found that Jesus was their provider. Not only so, but he said, "Come and have breakfast." And he took the bread and the fish and he served it to them himself. And that wasn't a communion service either. But wouldn't it be lovely if our communion had that value about it? A meal of provision. When we came with all our needs and found that he was the providing Lord. Will you do that? Now, just one more reference, and that very quickly. And it comes in Acts chapter 10. Let me take you there. Acts chapter 10. Peter is preaching his sermon in the house of Cornelius. And if you read it attentively, you can see him there. And he's preaching a sermon off the back of an envelope with notes jotted down. And he says, God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate with him and drank with him after he was risen from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people. Dear old Peter, looking back now after some years, I suppose, on those marvelous days, he not only remembered meeting with the risen Lord Jesus, he not only remembered what he said, but he remembered when he said it. We were eating and drinking with him. We were sitting at table. And while we were sitting at table, he commanded us to preach to the people. And that wasn't a communion service either. But wouldn't it be good if our service this morning had that value? That the Lord Jesus gave us individually direction. This is what I want you to do. To Peter, the direction was go and preach to the people. What will it be to me? What will it be to you? Will he say to me and you, perhaps, I would really like you to spend more time in prayer? Would he perhaps say to you and me, I would like you to be a little more committed in your daily Bible reading and not quite so perfunctory? What would he say to us? At any rate, this is a meal of commissioning. And Peter remembered that while he was eating and drinking and sitting at table with the Lord, he was commissioned. Now we're going to pray together, but we'll just remind ourselves in prayer of those thoughts about the communion service.